continue to talk to God. That God, it is time for me to hear from you. You are the reason why I am here this morning. You are the reason why I'm alive right from January up to this time. Appreciate all that God has done in your life. Lift his name up. Glorify him for everything that he has done. Father, we bless you. We glorify you, Lord. Thank you, everlasting Father. As we go into your word, Father, let your word be firmly established in our heart in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for all the words that we've heard from this altar right from January up to this time. Thank you for what we are going to hear today. And thank you for what we are going to hear for the rest of the year and beyond. Father, we glorify you, Lord. As we go into that word, whatever we take it away from me, Father, remove them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, God Almighty, you will establish yourself in Jesus' name. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before you sit down, I believe that you are not just here today by mistake. God is good. All the time. Because of goodness of God itself, that is why we are alive. That is why I like to sing this song before we sit down. You are the reason why we are happy, Jehovah. You are the reason why we are happy, Jehovah. 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 Jehovah, you are the Most High God. Amen. Let's put our hands together for Jesus as we sit down. Please be seated. The Lord is the reason why we are here today. He is the reason why you can sit down here comfortably. He is the reason why you are still breathing. Do you give that glory to God Almighty? That glory belongs to him. And God himself has given you many things. God has given you talent. Today we'll be talking about using your God-given talent. Using your God-given talent. I believe by this time of the year, we should be thinking of rounding up the message and giving thanks to God. Appreciating God. I know we are doing that. We still have about 4 weeks from December to do that. And I believe that God won this message because when Pastor was giving his message on the Holy Spirit baptism, that was when God has led me to this, to prepare for this message. So today we, like I said, we are going to be talking about using your God-given talent. And the Christian life itself is not a spectator. You are not just here just to sit down and be watching what is going on. It is not a spectator sport that you just believe is every Friday tonic. I just have to come here. You dust your Bible and you come over and listen to the message. God must be talking to you every second. Because God is good. His goodness never fades away. Every morning it renews. Beloved, when Jesus saved us, when he delivered us, he did not just save us to sit down. He saved us to serve in the capacity of what we can do. Every believer has been assigned with something precious from heaven, something God has already given to you, that you yourself, you know, that this is God-given talent. This is what the scripture called talent, that assignment, whatever God has assigned into your life. How do you use it? Turn with me to Matthew 25. We'll be reading from verse 14 to 30. Matthew 25, 14 to 30.
For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his lord's money. After a long time, the lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what it is yours. But his lord answered and said to him, You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Praise the Lord. As we have just read in this scripture, we could see here that just Jesus is giving a mind-touching parable about a master who has embarked on a journey, a long journey, so to say. And before he left, he has given 5 talents to one, 2 to another, and 1 to the last. Each according to their ability, according to their capacity, according to what they can withstand. Brother and sister, this story is not just about money. It's not just about money management. It is about kingdom stewardship. What it means is that the parable of talent should not just be understood as a parable or as a lesson on how to handle money at all. Instead, it should be an example of how to teach a spiritual principle. Spiritual what? Spiritual principle. This lesson teaches us that God has entrusted each and every one of us with divine resources. That is, the kind of abilities, the gift. Sometimes it might be opportunity. Sometimes it might be influence. To use this God-given for his glory until Christ returns. We are waiting for him. Whether we like it or not, Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, that ability that he has given to you, that talent, that capacity, that influence that he has given unto you, how have you used it? You know, when Jesus was giving this parable, that time it was nearing the time for him to go to the cross. So, he had just spoken about his second coming and the need for the readiness. So when this parable was told to the disciples, certain things were highlighted for the disciple and for you and me today. And what is that? The deep truth. We are all accountable for what God has given to us. We are all accountable for it. Let me ask you this question. The talent that God has given to you, actually, what have you done with it? Do you even value it? Do you value this talent that God has given to you? Are you multiplying it? Are you multiplying it for God? Or you have buried it in the ground of fear? Or in the ground of comparison? Comparing yourself with somebody? Or on the ground of neglect? Do you even value the talent that God has given to you? I want you to know that God don't just give you that talent. Talents are valued by God. Talent is what? Go back to the first slide, sister. Next one. No. Next. Talents are valued by God. Talents are valued by God. God has chosen to invest in you. A talent during Jesus' time was not about the coins. It's not about money per se. But a measure of weight, it depends on what it has been made of. Sometimes we read in the scripture, it can be of silver, of gold. It depends on the weight. The weight, the kind of talent that God has given to you, depends on the kind of material it has been made with. God has entrusted to you your gift, your time, even your mind, your voice, your compassion, your resources. All are immensely valuable to God. So whatever God has given to you, God values it. He values whatever he has given to you. Next slide. God has chosen to invest in you. He has chosen to do what? To invest in you. Verse 15 of the scripture we just read. Sister?
And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability.
And what does this mean? That means God knows you deeply. Next slide. God knows you what? Deeply. He knows your capacity and your potential. He knows what you can withstand. Action and reaction are equal and opposite. He will never give you something that will knock you down. He knows your capacity and your potential. He knows exactly what you can handle. Exactly what you can handle, he knows it. Please, don't compare your gift to another. Don't ever compare your gift. Be faithful with what he has given unto you. Sometimes, we often compare our gift. We say, Lord, I have only 1 talent. She has 5. She can sing louder than me. Even your secular job, God has given you different types of capacity. Never compare yourself with somebody. God never asks you to be someone else. He never asks you. God wants you to be faithful. He asks you to be faithful with whatever he has given unto you. That is what God is asking you. Romans 12, 6 is here. You can project it, sister. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. The word use them is what I want you to take note here. He did not say compare them. Use what God has given to you. Use them. If you don't use your talent that God has given to you, it will just be like, okay, let me give you this illustration. There is once an old abandoned golden trumpet. Let me tag this as your talent. It's abandoned. Abandoned trumpet that is very dusty and forgotten in a shop storage facility. It looked old and ordinary, but one day, a man picked it up, cleaned it carefully, and began to play it. And out of it came the most beautiful melody. This trumpet worth millions. The difference was not in the trumpet, but in the hand that used it. When you abandon your talent, it will be like that trumpet. Until you pick it up and dust it and use it for the purpose, that beautiful thing that's supposed to come out of it may not come. Church, your talent may seem small. You don't need to preach like me. You don't need to preach like Brother Joji. You don't need to preach like Pastor Abraham. You don't need to sing like Sister Linda. Sing your voice. That's why I love Pastor Leslie. Don't put me at the choir. I think Brother Kenneth always said that also. They recognize exactly that this is not where they belong. Choose where you belong. Yeah, the talent might look small, but in the hand of God, it is a nation. It is mighty. Church, God values what He placed in your hand. The question is, do you value your talent yourself? Do you use them? Are you faithful to what God has entrusted in you? You may know it. Okay, maybe I'm supposed to be in the ushering team. Hospitality seems to be my gift. But you prefer to remain silent. I don't want people to see me carry the offering bag. I don't want you people to look at me walking around within the congregation. No. You are hiding what God has given to you. Are you faithful? And that leads to the next point. Faithfulness is the key to fruitfulness. Faithfulness is the key to fruitfulness. The two servants went and traded. They went to trade. They double what the master has given to them. They double it. They are good business people. And when the master returned, he said the word, every one of you will like to hear. That every believer learn to hear. Those are the two words. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will make you ruler over many things. The next word is, enter into the joy of your Lord. There's something I want you to notice here. He didn't say successful servant. He said faithful servant. God measures our lives not by success, but by stewardshipness. Next slide. God measures our life not by success, but by stewardship. Why? Because success always focuses on achievement and results. Stewardship focuses on faithfulness and responsibility. Success is measured by what you accomplish. You can be successful in the world's eyes. People look at you as a successful person. God has given you money. You maintain it. You have turned everything around. You may be successful. Everybody look at you as a successful man or as a successful woman. But not a good steward. I'll give you an example. If achievement that you made to succeed come in the course of integrity or misuse of trust, is that people will see the success behind it, but God is seeing something behind it. In those days, in my old company, my boss used to say, Francis, I don't know how you do it. You claim for this, and I want the money in the bank, in company's account. He's not telling me to go and do something that is out of my way, out of my profession. But if I do that at my own cost, that the other side will doubt my integrity in the future. I've not ruined the company's reputation. I've ruined only my own reputation. So don't allow your success to come at the cost of your integrity. Success is measured by what you accomplish. Stewardship is measured by how you manage and serve what has been given to you. And that is what we could see in this Jesus parable of talent. We show that the master didn't praise success in terms of wealth, but faithfulness in managing what has been given. And what does it mean? Faithfulness means action. Faithfulness means moving immediately with God prompt you. Faithfulness means doing and be trusted. Brethren, if your gift is prayer, then pray faithfully. Pray what? Faithfully. If it is teaching, teach with diligence. If it is teaching, teach with diligence. And like I said earlier, if it is hospitality, open your homes with love. You can join the ushering ministry. Brother Claudio was part of ushering ministry before he left. Because this is where he belongs. So when you leave this place, what are they going to say about you? Sometimes, it might be just to encourage people. And when it is encouragement, the ability that you have, speak word into someone's life. Speak life into the weary heart. Speak. That is the talent that God has given to you. Every act of service, no matter how small it is matters in God's sight. God values it. He values whatever he has given to you. It might look small to you, but to God, it's more than a nation. Look at Paul. Paul charged Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, Paul told his son in the faith, fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you. Brethren, don't let the fire go down. The fire of your call, don't allow it to grow cold. Paul said, fan into the flame the gift of God, which is in you. Pray again, preach again, serve again, believe again. When you do this, the fire will continue to burn brighter when you fan through it. In our secular job, if you are really doing whatever, you belong to your profession. Believe me, every day you have experience. Every day you gain more experience because you put your profession into practice. If you are a doctor, you are a surgeon, but you find yourself in what do they call the baby's doctor? Pediatrics. If you are doing that, you are on the wrong path. Even though you are a medical doctor, you have diverted. That small area that God has given to you, fan it. Make use of it. And while you are making use of it, allow the Spirit of God in you to stay filled. And when you stay filled with the Spirit, believe me, every day. Every day. Apology to my ushering team. Sorry, I have to talk about this. In those days, say, okay, you are going to lead prayer? Oh, no, brother, I don't think I'll be able to do it. Okay. You have no choice, you have to do it. I'm not hearing that kind of things again in the ushering team. We are all fired for God. We pray. Without even telling anybody, brother, you are leading prayer right in the meeting. Believe me, they do. That is the gift that God has given. So stay filled with the Spirit. When you remain in the presence of God, if there is any crack, those cracks will get sealed up. Don't look at... Okay, one time I was talking to... I call them my children now. You realize I used to make use of the Friday school. I was talking to them. One of them told me, "Oh, Pastor, when I stand here, all the eyes will be looking at me." I said, "Because you are focusing on that. You just focus on God." Don't be scared that when you are called outside to lead prayer, every eyes will focus on you. If they look at you, look at them. Concentrate and look at them. It's a talent. That also is a talent. If you know you cannot look at them, begin to look up and God will lead you. Brethren, stay filled and stay faithful. Use what God gave you. Brothers and sisters, the next question is, why some people bury their talent? Why some people bury their talent? Now, let's move back to the man with one talent. Verse 24, sister.
Matthew 25, verse 24. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, "Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed."
25.
And I was afraid.
I was afraid. That is the word. I was what? Are you afraid? Somebody say yes. No, if you're afraid, don't worry. I hand you over to Pastor Abraham to give you the confidence that you deserve. Read on. I was...
And went and hid your talent in the ground.
Read that 25 again.
And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.
Brothers and sisters, thank you. The tragedies of buried talent is what? Fear and unbelief. Next slide. Fear and unbelief. Fear and what? Unbelief. Fear of comparison. Next slide. Fear of comparison. Many bury their God-given gifts because they feel inferior. They notice, okay, whenever he's singing here, our brother there, sorry, he is normally dance here. Now you are feeling that karaoke service is coming. My group has asked me to lead. I cannot dance like him. You already comparing yourself with somebody. Because of that, you will bury that talent that God has given to you. Fear of comparison. Many bury their gift because they feel inferior. Don't make yourself inferior. Consider yourself as image of God. Superior. Sometimes we look at someone's talent and say, "Why? Try somebody else. Why can't I look like him?" Don't feel inferior. But inferiority is not humanity. It is unbelief. Because point one, you don't believe in yourself. You have to believe in yourself first. When you belittle yourself, you belittle your gift. And when you are doing this, you are believed to the person that has, the God that has given you the gift. You are believed to him, the giver. Next slide. Fear of failure. Fear of failure. You have not started. You are already thinking that you are going to fail. Some hide their gift because they are afraid to make mistake. Make mistake. Make mistake. From the mistake, you learn. Failures in God's service is better than success in self-service. Look at Peter. He sank, but he made attempt. When he walked on, he said, "Lord, ask me to come." He stepped out of the boat. He sank because he was afraid. But he came out of the box. What am I saying? Come out of that box and use that God-given talent God has given to you. Sometimes ago, it was announced here that the outreach. And I'm happy the way people notice that, yes, this is where I want to belong. People are still looking for the labels in various ministries. Misunderstanding God's character. The lazy servant saw his master as harsh. Can you imagine? He concluded within his heart. And he sees him as unreasonable. And that is what many of us do. We see God as being too demanding, too judging. Sometimes we see him like that more than like not rather than a loving father. Sometimes the road will be rough. Unexpected will happen. That should not take away from you what God has deposited in you. If you think God is against you, you have never stepped out towards him. And if God opens your spiritual eyes, you will discover that the same path you are following, that God is delivering you, the same path someone has passed through, and he never survived it. It is not by your perfection. Our God is a loving God. So, when you know God, when you serve him, he will always be there for you. Even when you don't serve him, he's always there for you. But when you serve him, when those challenges will come, you will just smile. Get behind me, Satan. Because testimony will follow. Another one is laziness and excuses. The master called him wicked and lazy. That's the language that the master has used. Church, inactivities in God's kingdom is not neutrality. It is rebellion. You are rebelling against God when you are not active. God expects movement, not maintenance. James 2:17, faith without work is dead. This is chorus that we always know. So if you bury your talent, you will lose the talent. Again, I go back to our secular job. If your profession is this and you are doing something else, after many years, you know nothing about it. This is what you have gone to school to study for many years. But because you are not practicing that line, you have diverted to something else. You will lose it completely. It's the same thing we are talking about now. If you don't make use of your talent, you are buried it. You have buried it. And you will lose it. And when opportunity comes, maybe there's job opportunity. The next thing you will hear is somebody with 5 years experience or this experience, they begin to mention it. When somebody like us starts, after school, we started looking for job. I asked one of the men that I worked to his office. I said, sir, 1 year ago I came here, I was looking for a job. You said you cannot hire me because I don't have experience. 1 year after, I'm still walking around, I don't have a job. Where am I going to get this experience if nobody hire me? Believe me, that single word I said, get me my first job. The man said, because you have spoken, come and start on Tuesday. That was how I started. Without even telling me how much he's going to pay me, I agreed. Just for me to wake up and go to somewhere in Abuja then, Nigeria. What am I saying here is that when an opportunity comes, make sure you use it. Otherwise, that talent will be buried. Your talent will not be buried in Jesus' name. If you bury your talent, you will lose it. Both the talent and the opportunity to please God. Those are the things you are going to use. Next slide. 4. The spiritual principle. The spiritual principle. What begets work. When you put something into action, that will create momentum. For the student offices, they know what I'm talking about. When you put something into action, it creates momentum. Harvest follows sowing. If you don't sow, you can never harvest. The more you walk in spirit, the more fruit, grace, and opportunity God will continue to bring to your way. If your talent is hospitality, even as you are driving, you saw these people, the OIG people. Oh, you just felt that. Yeah. Oh, he has been in the sun. A bottle of water, you wave to him and give. He will smile and pray for you in his heart. That is, you are using your talent, what has given to you. And God, in his own way, will bless you. Listen to what Jesus said. To everyone who has more, to everyone who has, more will be given. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Can you imagine? To me, when I was in, not Friday school, now Sunday school, this is unfair to me. It is unfair to me. That's how I look at it that time. Like I was trying to say, if the opportunity comes, you don't have a job, but somebody with 5 years experience, 20 years experience, you both reach there, they will give to him. They give to him. Maybe you have 2 years experience and somebody is having 10 years. They will collect from that job from you. Even if that job is about to be given to you, they will collect it and give it to somebody who is having more experience. So make use of the talent that God has given to you. Your talent shall not be taken away in Jesus' name. Use what you have, and when you use it, what happens? It strengthens it. You have what we call experience. Even if you go for an interview and the interviewer is trying to dribble you, you bring him back, you are not dealing with baby. So when you use what God has given you, it strengthens it. But the other way around, neglect what you have. What happened? You are weakening it. Even when you, because if you have a talent of how to sing, and you are not singing, you will discover that one day you're just trying to give the, is it tenor or alto, I don't know what they call it. You will just sing in the bass, and that will go in the wrong direction. So don't neglect what God has given to you because you are going to weaken it. If you pray often, prayer becomes easier for you. If you give freely, generously, generosity grows naturally in you. If your talent is to give, and you give freely, generosity grows naturally in you. If you serve faithfully, opportunity will begin to multiply. Even in our secular job, when you are very dedicated in your work, your boss might be calling you, you do this, you do that, you do this, you do that. Why? You are doing that job that has been given to you. Somebody else is reacting, is not doing, and your boss is calling you all the time. Brethren, you will begin to get more opportunity and it will be fruitful. But if you hide your gift, your spiritual muscle will deteriorate. If you hide your gift, let's look at the muscle. Our muscle system and everything, if you don't do exercise, you don't walk, you just sit down, after some time you find out that that muscle, even though you are strong before, but because you are not putting it to use, it becomes weak. So work beget work. Whatever in computer, for the computer people here, goggle in, goggle out. Whatever you feed in is what is going to feed you. So this is also true for your gift. When you make use of it, you have more gift. And you will grow in that gift. They will take from those that don't even have. Maybe they have little and add to yours. Next slide. Faithful service brings reward and joy. Faithful service brings reward and joy. The faithful servant receives two rewards. What is the first one? Next. Greater responsibility. Now, I will make you ruler over many things. In that story, we've not heard that he is a supervisor. But now, he has been promoted. The same thing in our secular job. The same thing in our secular job. Even in the church of God, when you begin to make use of the gift that God has given unto you, you will discover that God will begin to talk to you more. Will come to talk to even the leadership of the church and say, oh, after praying, God will begin to reveal that this brother, this sister can handle this, can handle that. Greater responsibility will come. And the more responsibility you have, the more you grow. And what else again? Greater joy. And that is enter into the joy of your Lord. And that is the message that we want to hear. Faithfulness on earth leads to promotion in eternity. When you are faithful with what God has given unto you, you will be promoted. It leads to promotion in eternity. So when you serve God here, you are rehearsing for heaven. How you are going to sing along with those 24 elders that are singing there. And that is where you are going to serve him forever. Amen? I like that. I heard amen from that side. Because when you serve faithfully, you are rehearsing, you are preparing yourself. So, and you will serve him forever. Let me tell you, there's no greater joy than to know you are being used by God. They are not finding you in the group of people that are serving idols. They can look at you and say, oh, no wonder. He's a church man. They will start from there because of how you behave. Your behavior might be a talent. How you behave to people. It might be a talent. So when you pray and God answer, and when you give and see life change, when you witness and a soul is saved, there's a joy that money can never buy. In those days, in Nigeria, the Scripture Union, we call them MSU, when they preach to you and you accepted Jesus Christ, come and see the joy that will fill their heart. Today, if you talk to somebody in your office and that person changed, you yourself, you will feel happy that, yes, I brought a lost sheep to the kingdom of God. Now, the question is, where to use your talent? Where to do what? To use your talent. You might be thinking, okay, pastor is talking. I'm not serving in the church. Maybe I'm not belong to this kind of talent he's talking about. I'm not belonging to any ministry. I'm not belonging to this. I'm not belonging to that. You might ask, pastor, where do I use my talent? The answer is what? Everywhere. Everywhere. Use your talent where? Everywhere. Everywhere God has placed you. In the church? Yes. In the church. When you use your talent in the church, you build up the body of Christ. When you use it, you use it to build the body of Christ. When you use your gift to teach, to serve, to sing, greet, organize, mentor, intercede, you are using all this to build the body of Christ. One of our brethren came to me when I was in my old company, said, praise the Lord. Each time he comes, praise the Lord. That brother also is here, praise the Lord. Then one of my assistants asked me, this language is what? Every time this brother comes, praise the Lord. I say, yes, that's it. The joy of being a Christian. I love that in this church. You see everybody, any of our church member, irrespective of the environment, praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord, sister. It's a gift. If you are not doing that, you are burying that gift because you are hiding your faith. God is good to us. He has given us many gifts. Yes, I said in the church, you can use your talent in the community. Show Christ's love in practical way. Visit the sick, feed the hungry, counsel the hurt, encourage the weary. When you use this in community, they will be asking the question, who is he? How is a Christian? Already you are preaching to them. You understand that? So you can use your talent within the community. In your home and workplace, you can use your talent. The Bible says what? Let your light shine. When that light shines in your working place, yes, the goodness of God will show up. Your workplace may be your mission field. Even though we are in an environment where we are not allowed to preach openly, but still, God is still making use of his people. When your light shines, people will ask you questions, and you'll be able to use that talent. Your mission field might be your workplace. Your kindness, how you are kind to people, might be someone's first encounter with Jesus. It might be first encounter with Jesus. In 1 Peter 4, chapter 10, it says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in various forms. That's what Peter said. And this means that every time you serve, you are dispensing God's grace to someone. So God is looking for a dispenser, not water dispenser. But God is looking for what? Dispenser. Every time you press your water dispenser, you put your cup, what happened? The water dropped there. Even when you need what? Cold or hot water. Be a dispenser for God. Let people tap you, and the Spirit of God, the message of God begin to drop. May God help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we have spoken, we have talked, you have listened to me. What are the consequences of neglect? The consequences of neglect. In that story that we have just heard, verse 30, read. For it's very scary. The consequences, read. Verse 30.
And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
That shows that neglect is not neutral. Negligence of duty is not an excuse. Technology is even good now. In those days that the police will put something in front of their car and you are speeding, they will read you from far distance, and they catch you that you have passed your traffic, the traffic margin. You can't reach police and stop you. Oh, you have passed speed limit. Oh, I don't know the speed limit here. It's not an excuse. But these days the camera is there. Whether you just go on your own, when you are renewing your paper, you will pay the price. The same thing here. No excuse. To refuse to serve is to reject the master trust, the trust that God has given unto you. You are refusing it. The unfaithful servant was not punished for stealing at all. Don't say, I'm not stealing, I'm not lying, I'm not practicing adultery. He was punished for what? For doing nothing. Can you imagine you have been in this church over how many years, how many months? And you sitting down from doing nothing. I'm not saying this will be your portion in Jesus' name. You might be serving in your own capacity somewhere. Like I said earlier on, maybe within the community or in your workplace. But that last servant was punished because of what? For doing nothing. So sometimes when you sit down, I'm less concerned. Let Pastor Abraham and his team continue to do it. Let the Friday school, let them face the children. Because now, the outreach is coming. I know that the children, they are going to put pressure on their parents on Wednesday. If you like, come late. your child will call you. Daddy, mommy, we have to be in the church by 7:30, right? 7:15, sorry. I'm told 7:15, don't come late. So, for doing nothing, don't fold your arms. Don't relax. That servant get punished for doing nothing. It's not because he was telling lies or for stealing. Church, doing nothing with your gift is a sin of omission. It grieves the heart of God that this potential has been deposited in you. Still, you are not able to make use of it. The goodness of God is so wide and big in our life that God is so good that irrespective of the situation, he will always dump that thing with you. He keep reminding you, keep telling you, this is what I want you to do. So that leads us to, what lesson do we learn? The lesson for life. We summarize it this way. That is what Jesus has just said. What we have is not ours. Whatever you have is not yours. We are just steward, not the owner. Everything you possess, it's either your time, treasure, talent, everything belongs to God. We are given what we can handle. God knows our frame. He knows our capacity. He knows our ability. Before I continue, I want the choir to just stand behind me. The choir to stand behind me. So, like I was saying, God will never give you what is beyond your capacity. And when you have this, we must invest what we have been given. Use it for His glory. You use it for the glory of God. You use it for the glory of God. Why? Because we will give account one day. The master will return. We will give account. And we ask that question, how we use our talent, reveal our view of God, and trust that we have on God. Unbelief, love, or fear. So if you don't use it, we will lose it. I've said it earlier on. Today, the graveyard is full of buried talent that have been taken to the grave. Because there are songs that never sung, book that is never written, soul that were never reached. Next slide, our motive for service. The motive for service. We don't serve to earn salvation. We serve because we have salvation. We don't work to be loved. We work because we are loved. Service is gratitude in action. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. It's a common scripture that we know. So lastly, conclusion. The master is coming back. And God is good. The master in this parable returned after a long time. And that master also is still coming back. That's where we are now. We are waiting for him. We are waiting. He's coming back. And with us, he will settle the account for everyone. What will he find in your hand? A buried gift or a multiplied fruit? Maybe you are burying your talent because of fear and doubt. Brethren, it is high time that you bring them out. Dig it up. God is saying now, dig it up. Fan it. Use it. And have trust in God that Jesus will work it out for you. And the last scripture says, 1 Corinthians 15.
1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
The goodness of God shows that your labor are not in the, what? In not in vain. God is good. Let the choir sing for us before I have the final prayer. Goodness of God. Let the congregation be on our feet.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no
of God. All your life, God has been faithful to you. Because he never allowed that talent to drain up in you. Today's message is a waking call for you to fan the flame of that talent that God has given unto you. God is good. His goodness will never cease in our life, in Jesus' name. Father, we want to thank you for trusting us with your gift. We bless you, we glorify you, Lord. Forgive us for the time we have buried them in fear or neglect, Lord. Today, we have chosen to fan the flame into the gift you have placed in us. Help us, Lord, to serve you faithfully. Help us, Lord, to serve you joyfully. Help us, Lord, to serve you boldly until you return. May we hear those words one day, when thou, good servant and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the kingdom. So shall it be in the mighty name of Jesus. I want to bless your name for today's message. Father, you have planted the message. Let your spirit continue to water it in our heart in the mighty name of Jesus. And we pray as we depart now, your presence shall go with us in Jesus' name. This week, all our programs, they are all in your hand. For the outreach, we are looking unto you, Lord. Bring the lost soul in the mighty name of Jesus. As our children are going to use their God-given talent on that day, Lord, your spirit will manifest in the mighty name of Jesus. And I want to pray for those that already serve in the church. Those that serve openly, those that serve secretly. Father, I pray that the source of energy you have given to them to serve, that your spirit will continue to make it flow in the mighty name of Jesus. The ushering team, the Friday school teachers, the women ministry, the praise and worship team, the intercessory, the leadership of the church at every level, and the congregation. Father, I pray that the spirit of service you have given unto them, Lord, it shall never dry up in the mighty name of Jesus. And every buried talent, every buried gift, the fire of heaven, the source of heaven, we uproot them in the mighty name of Jesus. We bless your holy name, we glorify you. As Christmas is drawing nearer, Father, we are all looking for Christmas gift. Father, bless us with your Christmas gift in the mighty name of Jesus. We use this period for people that are looking for job. Father, surprise them in Jesus' name. People that are looking for visa, surprise them in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Let's share the grace together in fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. And we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you and do have a wonderful week.